Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. What you'll want to do at this time is get your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15. And we're going to be talking about the parable of the prodigal son. And we'll be looking at Elam's notes that he wrote on that. He wrote these notes for a Sunday school lesson for the Sunday of January 21st, 1923. And in this, we're going to learn the meaning of the parable of the prodigal son. So while you're turning your Bible to Luke chapter 15, I want you to know that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., evening worship on Sundays at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's turn to Elam's notes and learn the meaning of the parable of the prodigal son. This parable comes after two preceding parables in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost piece of money. And this one were given, and these were given in justification of Christ's conduct in receiving publicans and sinners in eating with them. Jesus used the strongest parable at the last. Even these scribes and Pharisees could not but approve of the compassion and mercy of the forgiving Father and condemn the actions of the elder son. They claimed to be righteous. The publicans and sinners were self-confessed sinners. The elder son represents them and all sinners like them. And the prodigal son represents the publicans and sinners and all penitent sinners returning to God. In Luke chapter 15, as this chapter begins, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now all the publicans and sinners were drawing near unto him to hear him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake unto them this parable, saying," and follows are those three parables. Now this parable may serve to illustrate the condition of the Jews and the Gentiles, but it was applied by Jesus just as stated. When he makes an application of his parables, we must accept it. In the two preceding parables, Christ seeks the lost, and in this, the lost sinner seeks his Father's house. While all represent the joy of heaven over repentance. The parable of this lesson is a pathetic, beautiful, and sublime one. It appeals to the sympathy, awakens the emotions, and arouses the compassion of the most callous. While it lives in the wonderful and inspired story of the cross, illustrating the loving forgiveness of God, it has also been embalmed in oratory, poetry, and song, and speaks in silent eloquence from the canvas. It has been called the crown and pearl of all parables. Now for the explanatory notes, whom the persons in the parable represent. Luke 15:11 says, "And a certain man had two sons." This certain man represents God, full of compassion and love for sinners. The younger son, the prodigal son, as just seen, represents the publicans and sinners who confessed they had wandered away from God. The elder son represents the scribes and the Pharisees who claimed to have remained with God. Luke 15 and verse 12, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me. And he divided it unto them, his living." The firstborn, under the law of Moses, inherited a double portion as a birthright, Deuteronomy 21 and verse 17. And therefore this younger son would inherit only one-third of his father's estate. He demanded his portion before his father's death. Now, Adam Clark said that it had been an immemorial custom in the East for the sons to demand and receive their portion of the inheritance during their father's lifetime. And the parent, however aware of the dissipating inclinations of the child, could not legally refuse to comply with the application. Again, that is from Clark's commentary. Now let's look at the prodigal. This boy was tired of home restraints and the correction of a father. He was self-willed, undutiful, and determined to go wrong. He wanted liberty. He wanted to spend his own money in his own way, and that was in the gratification of his strong appetites and passions. Oh, if he could only have seen the consequences. In a short while, he is a ragged, degraded, prolificate wanderer. See, young man, see, for he that soweth unto his own flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. Let this be branded upon the heart. There's no exception to this rule. Many a criminal began just as this prodigal, by growing weary of home and the society of father and mother. The world is fascinating and enticing, but beware, young man. The father yielded to the demand and divided unto them his living. We have here an instigation or an example of the sinner's free will. In this too, it is seen that the sinner's will is free. The inheritance may represent all the rich profusion of God's goodness bestowed upon men. He permits them to use these blessings and their abilities as they choose. He sets before men a blessing and a curse. We read in Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." A blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse, if you will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, and go after other gods which ye have not known. Life and good, and death and evil, exhorts them to choose life by loving and obeying God. In Deuteronomy 30, in verse 15, and going down through verse 20, the old prophet says, "See, I've set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you unto this day that ye shall utterly perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them." Oh, if they would but choose life. But if they would choose death, he must not allow them to do so, while in mercy he warns them of the fearful consequences. Here is a time to reflect. In Luke chapter 15 and in verse 30, it says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living." This son had time to reflect upon his determination to go, but nothing had changed his purpose. So not many days after, he gathered all together, took his portion, and departed into a far country. Where he went, we do not know. Any place of sin is a far country. It's far from innocence, purity, righteousness, and God. Think of it. He left home, its dear amenities, its sacred purity, its hallowed influence, its loving protection against sin. He left upon the high tide of appetite, passion, and worldly pleasure. He sought the society of the dissipated as more congenial to his present taste and desires. But what he had did not last long. One travels rapidly on the downgrade. He wasted his substance, threw it to the winds with riotous living, Luke 15 and verse 30. Luke 15:30 gives us an idea of the meaning of riotous, having devoured thy living with harlots. It means dissipation, revelry, licentiousness. These publicans and sinners had thus turned away from God. But all sinners, whether they be of this class or not, are wasting and devouring the blessings and privileges of God, wasting their time and talent and life and health and body and soul in the service of sin. It is a sad picture. Luke chapter 15 and verse 14. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country, and he began to be in want." This is the sad side of this picture. It's enough to make one weep to think of a dissolute, ungrateful son thus squandering the hard earnings of an industrious, economic, and fond father. But soon all was gone. The downgrade was steep, and he traveled with accelerated speed just when he reached the bottom in the valley of destitution. A famine arose. Sin is always a famine to the soul. The world with its pleasures and moments and glories cannot satisfy the hungry soul. Of this, Solomon in his varied experience cried, "All is vanity and striving after wind." And so the young man began to be in want. His money was gone. His seeming friends had forsaken him, and he had nothing to eat. Those who help to spend the boy's money in riotous living will forsake him and curse him when his money is gone. God and his children take up and help him in destitution. His destitution is a picture of the destitution of sin. Luke chapter 15 and verse 15. "And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent in into his fields to feed the swine. He's too proud yet to repent and return to his father. So he joins himself into one of the citizens of that country, who sends him into the fields to feed his swine." This was an unlawful and disgraceful calling among the Jews, because the hog was an unclean animal. His sin sinks him deeper and deeper into shame and distress. In Luke 15:16, it says, "He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swines did eat, and no man gave unto him." We're going to pick this story up at the next Bible class. You be listening for that school bell to ring, and mark your Bibles to Luke chapter 15 so you can open it there when we return.